Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Jonathan Cahn was in Washington, D.C. at the National Prayer Breakfast, and he gave he was called up to pray, and he gave this prophetic word. And it's such a time to think about this. The only two nations, there's only been two nations that had their foundation on God, that made a covenant with God. Israel, of course, and America was the other one. Of all the things that ever happened, think about it, Israel and America. And so we can come back to that foundation again. As a matter of fact, I want you to hear, this is Jonathan Cahn from the National Day of Prayer, prophetically speaking a prayer over our country.
Let's rise for a moment. The sacred gatherings of Israel were heralded by the sounding of the shofar, and this is a sacred gathering. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, assemble the elders, cry aloud, do not hold back, lift up your voice like a trumpet. This is the sound of God's power as we pray for America. Amen. You may be seated. Why are we here? 386 years ago, the ship called the Arbella journeyed across the Atlantic Ocean to the New World. Aboard that ship was John Winthrop, who would pen the founding vision of the civilization to be known as America. If we would follow the ways of God, he wrote, then the Lord will be our God and delight to dwell among us as his own people and will command a blessing upon us in all our ways. He shall make us a praise and glory. For we must consider that we shall be as a city on a hill. America was to be a city on a hill to which the eyes of all people would look. The vision would come true. America would become the most blessed, prosperous, powerful nation the world had ever seen. A city on a hill and a praise and a glory in the earth. In the history of the world, only two civilizations came into existence on the solitary foundation of God's calling and purposes. The first was called Israel. The second was called America. In fact, the founding vision of America was based on the template of ancient Israel. But in the days of her blessing, Israel turned away from the God and his ways, the God of her blessings, drove him out of its government, out of its culture, out of its national life. It celebrated the ways of godlessness. It lifted up its children on the altars of Baal and Molech. And it called what was evil good and what was good evil. So too, America in her blessings has turned from the God of her blessings. The city on the hill that was founded for the purposes of God now drove God out of its government, its culture, and its public squares. The city on the hill that was dedicated to the glory of God now glorified ungodliness and called evil good and good evil. And the city on the hill that was consecrated to be a light to the nations now lifted up its most innocent and helpless and slaughtered them on the altars of self-obsession. And its collective hands were covered with the blood of millions. The city on the hill has grown darkened. It has forgotten the God of its foundation. The temples of its culture have been expunged of his presence and now are filled with idols in his place. It's forgotten the warning of its foundation, the warning embedded in the vision of the city on the hill, for it was also written and prophesied. If our hearts shall turn away, so that we will not obey, but shall be seduced and worship other gods, our pleasures and our profits, and serve them, we shall surely perish. In other words, if we do so, we'll stand at the precipice of judgment. And the city on the hill has also forgotten the warning given by its first president, the prophetic warning given in his first speech on America's first day as a constituted nation. It was said, the propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained. In other words, if America ever disregarded the eternal rules of order and right ordained by God, the blessings of God would be removed from the land. 10 months ago, in this city, named after the one who gave that warning, America disregarded the eternal rules of order and right that heaven itself had ordained, as its highest court struck down the very order of God. And the day it did so was a biblical day. It was the ninth of Tammuz, the ancient day of mourning that commemorates the day that a nation's hedge of protection was removed in the approach of judgment. So it must be asked this day, Supreme Court justices, from where did you get the authority to overrule the rulings of the Most High? And by what authority did you strike down the laws of the Eternal? And who gave you the power to annul the word of the Almighty and pass judgment on the judge of all existence? You are neither the highest court or the final authority. There is a supreme judge who wields a supreme justice that will not sleep forever. And Mr. President, did you not lay your hand on the word of God to assume the oath of your presidency? Then how did you take the same hand and enact words and laws that war against the very word on which you swore your oath? And you uttered the words, so help me God. But on the day that the order of God was struck down, you issued the order to illumine the White House in the colors of the rainbow to celebrate that striking down. Mr. President, by what authority did you take the sacred colors of God's covenant, the colors of his throne and the colors of his mercy in the face of judgment, and turn them against the purposes of God and the word of God on which you swore your oath? Does a president have the power to veto the ordinances of the living God? America now stands at the crossroads, and we are now asked to choose between one who has said deep-seated religious beliefs must be changed so that the killing of the unborn can increase, and one who says he will make America great again. But America cannot be great without returning to the God of its greatness. Yes. Without humility, repentance, and revival, yes, the ambition for greatness will end up as nothing more than a Tower of Babel. Kings may be a judgment on a nation that has turned away from its king. There is a time to stand and a time to fall on our faces. We must stand. But now the time has come to fall on our faces before God. We've come here today because our trust is not in man or woman. We've come here today to seek the power of God. 36 years ago, America stood at a precipice. Its economy was in shambles. It was crippled by an energy crisis and embargo. Its standing around the world was at dangerously low levels. Its enemies were advancing. Its citizens were being held hostage in Iran. And every day, its television sets were filled with images of masses chanting, "Death to America! Death to America!" And then the nation's military sent a rescue mission that collapsed in the desert. And now the dead bodies of American soldiers were put on display in Iran. It looked as if the sun had set on the American age. But at that same time in history, believers from around the nation were led to gather in Washington, D.C. to pray, to repent and seek the mercy of God on this nation. They came because of one scripture, the promise God gave to Israel, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land." So they gathered on the Washington Mall and declared that scripture, "If my people who are called by my name," over and over and over again. And they lifted up two prayers above all, that where America's power had failed, the power of God would release the hostages. And then lifting up their hands to the western side of the Capitol building, they prayed that God would bring into power those of his choosing. It was spring, the spring as it is now before a presidential election. That November, there was a revolution at the polls, and those who ran on a platform of returning God to its biblical foundations were swept into power. And namely a new president, Ronald Reagan, who spoke of the need of a spiritual revival and of America as the city on the hill. That January was the inauguration, and the president-elect switched the site of the inauguration from where it had been for over a century to the western terrace of the Capitol. So he was now standing on the very place to which the believers had pointed their arms and prayed to God to bring to power those whom he willed. He was now facing outward to the Washington Mall, where the believers had prayed and lifted their hands, and from where they prayed to free the hostages. And then as he was sworn into the presidency, that very hour, The hostages were released. The two prayers answered in the very same moment. And from that moment came a massive change of world history, a national resurgence. America's economic power began to rebound, as did its military power and its standing in the world. Its archenemy, the Soviet Union, began to collapse. America would emerge as the world's only superpower. It would be called mourning in America. But that altering, that transforming of world history began with the prayers of God's people. And that scripture, if my people who are called by my name. And the moment that that transformation began was when the new president put his hand on the Bible and took the oath of presidency. But what was it on which he placed his hand and on which history changed? He placed his hand on a scripture. The history of the world changed on a scripture. And what was that scripture? It was this. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. And that is why we are gathered here today. Because God is real, His word is true, and the prayers of His people are stronger than nations, stronger than superpowers, and stronger than history itself. Therein is our hope. And the choice in the end is not between one candidate and another. It is between God and Baal. And we stand here at this critical hour between two altars and two gods. And the voice of the Lord cries out, "Choose you this day whom you shall serve." 70 years ago, the chaplain of the United States Senate cried out to America and said, "If the Lord is God, then serve him. But if Baal, then serve him and go to hell." That word and that warning is all the more critical today. So we have come to Washington, D.C., not to seek the agency of government, but to seek the agency of the Holy Spirit. Not to lobby those who occupy high office, but to plead with Him who occupies the office of the Most High. And not to call on the abilities of man, but to invoke the power of the Almighty for revival, for there is no other way but revival. So we commit ourselves now to pray for that revival. And not only to pray for that revival, but by the power of God, to walk in that revival. We have come here because our trust and our hope is not in man, but in God. Specifically, our trust and hope is in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Moses and the God of Elijah, the God of the Red Sea and the God of the Resurrection, the God of the impossible. We have come to the throne of the sovereign, almighty, living God of Israel. And we cry out from this place, "Have mercy, have mercy, have mercy on this land. Lift up again your eyes on the city on the hill and have mercy. Let your power be seen again in this nation. Let it fall on the heartland. Let it fall on the coastland. Let it fall on the cities. Let it fall on this capital. Let there be revival in this land. Let the lost be saved. Let the saved be revived. No matter what it takes, let there be revival in the land. For some trust in chariots, some trust in princes, some trust in Supreme Courts, some trust in White Houses, some trust in candidates, and some trust in idols. But we will trust in the name of the Lord our God, and the name above all names, above all kings, above all powers. We will trust in the only name given by what which we must be saved. We will trust in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the Judge of all judges, the light of the world, the glory of Israel, the foundation stone upon which this nation came into existence, and the only answer, the only chance, the only hope America has, that it might once again become a city on the hill to shine with the light of the fire of the presence of the glory of the living God, and be again a praise and a glory in this earth. So help us God. Amen.
Totally awesome. I mean, that was just beautiful. A loose word in the Washington, D.C. And, you know, God responds to those words. I think about he went straight through the time of President Jimmy Carter when the tragedy was happening. There was gas lines all over America. He was turning the White House thermostat down and putting a sweater on and addressing the whole nation, saying, you know, this is the new norm, basically. He was saying, you know, we need to use less electricity and we're not going to have as many resources. It's just all negative.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried to, you know, every day that's when Nightline, the news program, was formed, because every night they would come on and say, there's another day, the hostages. And that's what they're established because of the hostages that were taken in Iran. And then when President Ronald Reagan got into office, when he was taking the pledge as the president, simultaneously the military was freeing up the hostages from Iran. And here we are again today, right here in a crisis with Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And these things are being said again, which means on the precipice of all of this could be us rising up like others did during that time and repenting, coming to Chronicles and saying, dear God, forgive us. We've sinned. You know, we're going to turn away from our evil ways. Hear from heaven. Heal our land. Forgive our sins. Restore us. And God did, and God will, when we do that. And we're beginning to see that take place. It's such a powerful thing. So he took it all the way through and showed how, you know, laying his hand on the Bible and making that pledge shifted everything. All we need is that kind of response. And we get that kind of response when we turn to God. God will raise up the leaders that we need when we turn our hearts back to him. When we get back from this break, we're going to go talk about the Middle East. We're going to shift to the Middle East because it's an amazing environment, the things that are taking place. The apple of God's eye, Israel's there. Many people are trying to come in. One of the radical Islamic jihadist mindsets of Hamas and Hezbollah and all these crew are wanting to push Israel into the sea. Well, there's a barrier between the West, Israel, and jihad. There's a barrier there. And that barrier is King Abdullah, the king of Jordan. Of course, based on what you've heard in our previous programs, that, you know, John Guadola, with a former FBI agent who has a ministry or a business called Understanding the Threat, he's talked about specifically that they're turning right now to the Islamists are turning to nations that aren't Muslim enough.
Sharia compliant.
That aren't Sharia compliant. Moderates. And, of course, King Abdullah is a moderate, you know, type Muslim. But they would say, based on what John Guadola was saying with the former FBI agent, that there's no such thing in their eyes.
Right.
And one of the words that was spoken was, first we're going to deal with the dictators, and then we're going to deal with the kings. Well, if you go back and look at the Sykes-Picot lines during end of World War One, when they divided up the Middle East, the Ottoman Empire, and they cut it all up, and they made Iraq, and they made Iran, and they made Saudi Arabia, and they cut that all up, and they put kings over each of these.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're looking at the Islamists, the people who believe that Islam is the way and Allah is the God, that they're going to try to get all that land back that was supposedly, you know, committed to them in World War One. And what's standing in between that taking place? Well, God, obviously. But if you take down Jordan, we find out after this break, if King Abdullah, which is a friend of America, a friend of Israel, and has been a buffer zone for all that radical things, and this is a man that goes straight out and gets on the planes and deals with the enemy himself, is an amazing man.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.